Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to be here with all of you. I want to welcome you here to Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. If this is your very first time today, or if we haven't seen you in a while, we're glad that you are here. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. My name is Pastor Stephen Yi. I'm one of the pastors here, I want to invite you again just to join me in a word of prayer. Just join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we praise you. And God, I thank you again for this time that we can gather here together as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can worship you, that we can sing songs, God, that we can be reminded of who you are, of how great you are, of how great your love is for us. God, I thank you for how you provide for us. And God, I thank you for bringing each person here. And God, you know our struggles. God, you know the ways that we are so blessed, all the ways that all the things that you've given us. Thank you, God, for your amazing love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the bond that we share in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that this morning that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, help us to know you more. Help us to know your word. Help us to know your love and your grace. And God, as we learn more and as we're reminded of who you are, God, I pray that we would live our lives in light of what is true. And so we thank you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being such a great God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a little adventure that I had this past week. And it started with this next. I don't know, how many of you drink filtered or bottled water? Raise your hand. Probably most of you. Okay, does anyone still drink tap water? Some of us, okay? All right. There's no shame in drinking tap water, okay? But my family and I, we still refill our water containers at a water store. And so this past week we were at the water and ice store, not too far from here. And I took my two sons with me, Braden and Caleb. All right, they're not in here. Okay. I didn't ask Caleb if I could share this story, but I'll ask him later. All right. So we were at the water store, and if you don't know what this is, if you can't see it, I apologize, but these are just tall faucets, water faucets, where you refill your water containers. And so we went to the water store, and we have all of our containers. They have little carts that you can put all your containers on and transport them to and from your car. And so I had the boys. I thought this would be a great way for them to help me in refilling our water containers. And so we're filling, it's kind of a small water store, so I say, okay guys, I need your help. Help me fill up water containers, and let's try to do it quickly so we can get done and not take up all the space here, because there's not that many faucets. And we have about 15 water containers to fill. And so they start filling them. We're filling them, I'm filling my container, and I'm putting it on the cart, and as I'm putting my container on the cart, I feel this splash of water hit me in the face. I'm like, oh, man, it was cloudy outside. Is it raining? We were inside, though. The water was splashing out from the container that Caleb was filling because instead of turning off the lever as his container filled up, he turned the water on full blast. And these faucets, it's just like a water, it's just a lever. Okay, it's not like a little water faucet. It's like, it either opens the whole water tube or it closes it. And so this water was just gushing out. It seemed like it was forever, which is probably about 5 seconds of water shooting out all over the place, all over the store. I didn't know what to do. I was surprised and shocked, and Caleb's just standing there, he's getting drenched with water, and then after about a couple seconds, he realizes, oh, I need to turn off the water, and so he turns the lever off. And it looks like this. I mean, that was during the time. That was during a storm came. I thought it was a storm, but we were inside in the water store. And I got wet. Caleb was soaked. He literally looked like this boy. This is not Caleb, but and this is outside at a water park or a splash pad. But everything was soaked. And there is water on the floor. And water was everywhere. And Caleb started crying. He was soaked in water. He was crying. And I tried to do my best to console him. Caleb, it's just an accident. It's okay. And while at that same time, I'm feeling embarrassed. I'm feeling bad that we wasted so much water. And I'm like, okay, how much is this going to cost? All right. But I tried to console Caleb. But he wouldn't stop crying. You know, I'm like, yeah, don't cry over spilt water, Caleb. All right. No, I didn't say that. But I said, Caleb, what, you know, it's just an accident. It's okay. Why are you crying? And I didn't notice this until after the fact because I was so focused on myself and just getting out of there. But afterwards, I was reflecting on what just happened. And Caleb's response to me was really interesting. I asked Caleb, Caleb, why are you crying? Why were you crying? It was just an accident. It's just water. He said this. He said, because I thought I was going to get in trouble. And then I clarified with him. I said, well, did you think I was going to punish you? Like you were going to get in trouble from me? He said, no. I thought that the store owner, I was going to get in trouble with the store owner. It was interesting. He wasn't crying over the water that was spilt or wasted. He wasn't crying because he was embarrassed. He wasn't crying because he might have to clean up a huge mess. He was worried about getting punished by the shop owner. So Caleb's response showed me something very interesting that he was aware of. That little incident, well, that big incident, it showed me that Caleb was aware of the shop owner's authority. Like the owner of the shop has control over the shop, right? And therefore, they have power, they have rule, they have the right to give orders, they have the right to make decisions for the best of their, the benefit of their shop, their business, and they can enforce obedience. They could, you know, enforce repercussions or that we pay them or that we help them clean up or something. But he recognized the authority of the shop owner, and that was really interesting to me. He was worried that they would punish him. And it was that understanding, right, that Caleb had of the shop owner's authority in that place, in that store, that shaped his perspective and how he viewed that situation, that incident, that accident that happened. And it was Caleb's perspective that determined how he responded in that situation. That's why he was crying, because he was scared at what the shop owner might do. He recognized the shop owner's authority, but yet he did not know the shop owner's character. And, of course, the shop owner was very gracious and merciful. He said, don't worry about it, guys. It happens all the time. I'm sure it happens all the time. I can imagine because it's just so easy to think. And then when you're waiting, when that container's filling up, you almost panic. Like, you got to turn off the water and you want to fill it up right to the top and you don't want to waste anything. And then sometimes you turn it the wrong way and the water just splashes everywhere. But Caleb recognized the authority of the shop owner. It was really interesting to me. Well, what about you? What do you know about God's authority? What do you know about God's authority? Because the same thing happens and is true that how Caleb thought, that's true about us too. Our understanding of God's authority, it's going to shape everything. It's going to shape how we look at life. It's going to shape how you look at people. It's going to shape it how you view decisions. And your perspective, right? It determines our responses. How we view things and what we believe, and especially in regards to God, if He's the authority or not, that's going to shape how we live. And that's going to affect how we respond when storms come. Because this passage that we're going to read is going to involve a storm. And I want to ask you here, all of you here, visitors, friends, brothers and sisters this morning, what storms are you facing today? And what do I mean by storms? I'm not talking about getting splashed by water or how the rain has affected your life, but I'm talking about difficult times. I'm talking about hardship, loss, tragedy, broken relationships, financial crisis, career choices, health problems, uncertainty of the future. Storms that alter our lives, circumstances that are life-altering. You know, if I'm learning more and more as I grow older and as I study more, I'm learning that I don't have control. I learn that more and more every day. I cannot control the difficulties in my life. I cannot control the struggles in my life or things that happen. But I can control how I react, how I respond when difficulty does come. And many of us in the midst of this world that we know full well is broken and there's so much pain and suffering, a lot of us, we live with fear. We live with fear, we live with anxiety, we worry, we stress, wondering, right, what's going to happen? How is this going to work out? How am I going to get through this situation? How am I going to get through this storm? And oftentimes we fear, we settle for fear, we choose to fear. Our tendency is to fear. But it's in this tendency that we have, it's in this temptation that we have to fear, that we must choose to remember the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is the focus of this passage that I want to share with you this morning. And it talks about the authority of Jesus. It's not that Jesus is going to calm every storm in your life. Okay, every difficulty and thing that's uncomfortable in your life, this passage is not saying that Jesus will calm every difficulty, will stop every difficulty in your life. No. But the truth of this passage and the truth that we know about God is that there's going to be storms in this life. And that storm that you're going through, it may not end as long as you live here on this earth. That's the truth. That's difficulty that you face. Or that you're tempted with, it may never stop as long as you live on this earth. But we do know this from God's Word. We have help in the midst of the storm. We have a Savior in the midst of our difficulties. His name is Jesus. And it's because of Jesus and what He has done that we can have hope. And by faith, we know that we can have a future with Him. And by faith, we know that there's going to be a day that we can look forward to, that as His children, as ones that have been called out and saved, those that have been redeemed, we know that there will be a day when all of those storms will stop. And they will be no more. And so I want to invite you to turn with me. In your Bible, if you have it, open it up to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 8. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to show it up here on the screen. Okay, Matthew, chapter 8. And this may be a familiar passage to many of you. But we're going to be looking at Matthew, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Okay, and I want to read this with you. I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along on the screen silently. But it's Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. And for those of you who like to jot notes down and fill in the blanks, there's an outline there in your bulletin. So please feel free to pull that out, look at it, draw on it, take notes on it, whatever you like to do as you follow along with me. But Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. Okay, and we're talking about Jesus here, and Jesus had just been teaching the multitudes of people, and He's getting tired and He needs a rest. Okay, because Jesus, yes, He was human, fully human, and He was fully God. He needed a rest. And so here we are, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. Follow along silently as I read it out loud. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And so we're continuing this series of questions that Jesus asks. And so we see right here in this passage, a question that Jesus asks the disciples. He asks them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" And what I want to share with you as we look at this passage, as we study this passage, I want to share with you four truths that we can take from this passage that will help us to trust God instead of fear our circumstances. Okay, four truths that will help us to trust God instead of fearing our circumstances. And it comes from this passage. And so the first thing I want to encourage you with, the first truth that I want to share with you is that God is working in the circumstances of our lives. We need to remember that God is working in the circumstances of our lives. Things don't just happen randomly, and God is not just sitting there or His back isn't turned from you. He is paying attention. Not only is He paying attention, He is in full control. God is working in the circumstances of our lives. And so we see here, right? I mentioned Jesus had a full day of teaching. It was now evening. He and the 12 and the disciples needed to get some rest. So He gets in a boat and He tells them to go to the other side of the lake. Jesus, right? I told you before, He is fully human. He had just been teaching, and He is tired. He is extremely tired. And what does He do when He gets on that boat? He falls asleep. He falls into a deep sleep, and suddenly everything turns upside down. Alright? As you're looking at this passage, try to picture it in your head. Try to picture what is going on. There's the multitudes of people. Jesus had just been teaching. He's tired. He gets in this boat. He says, "Guys, come with me. Let's go to the other side of the lake. I need some rest." He gets in the boat, He falls asleep, and suddenly everything turns upside down. Have you ever experienced that? Where things turn upside down? Well, look here, right? What happens? A furious storm comes upon them. Now, to imagine what this might be like, just picture hurricane-type winds blowing, and the boat begins to take on huge amounts of water. This is a lake. Imagine this water just taking over the boat. And these weren't some novices, but these disciples, they had experience as sailors, they had experience as fishermen, and suddenly they find themselves in a storm unlike anything they have ever been in. Something I want to ask you to think about, how did they end up in this storm? How did it start? Jesus told them, "Hey, let's go." Jesus led them into it. There's something interesting to notice about this. Jesus actually led them into the water, didn't He? This was not an accident, because we know, right? God is in full control. There's nothing that surprises God. And Jesus is God. Nothing surprises Him. He knew that they were going to encounter this storm. So if Jesus is with us, right? If God is with us, if God knows, if He is in total control, should we be alarmed? Should we be alarmed by the things, the storms that come into our lives? The storms that sometimes surprise us? You see, when we realize that God is working in the circumstances of our lives, we realize that these moments, these are divinely ordained moments where God is working in the everyday circumstances of our lives to do what? To reveal Himself to us. To reveal who He is. To reveal and teach us more about who we are. And to show us who we really need. You see, I've noticed in my own life that it's those times of suffering or trials or difficulties, those desperate moments, I've realized that that's when God does some amazing work in my own life. And it's in these difficult moments that He brings us often, and He's brought me to the end of myself, to the end of my own efforts, where I recognize, man, God, I cannot possibly do this alone. And it's in those moments that He's reminded me, He's led me to Himself, and He's helped me to remember that I need Him, that I need Him alone, that ultimately Jesus, He's my Savior. He's my refuge. He's my strength. You see, as we think about how God is working in the circumstances of our lives, we got to understand, friends, brothers and sisters, there is no hope apart from Jesus. God is completely sovereign. And do we know what sovereign means? It means that God is in complete control. He is in total control all the time. Nothing slips God's mind. Nothing slips through His fingers. God is working through every circumstance. And the Apostle Paul in Romans, he tells us more about how God works in the lives of Christians, how God works in the lives of His children. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." You see, we can rest assured that if we love God, He is working for our good. He knows what is best. And He has a plan and a purpose that He has called us to be a part of. And we must believe that God's plans are perfect. His timing is perfect. God knows best. You see, the second truth here that we must choose to believe to help us trust instead of fear is that we panic. We panic when we lose faith. Ultimately, we panic when we lose faith in the one that we should trust. That's the second point in your outline. We panic when we lose faith in the one that we should trust. Now, when you look at this passage here, right, I think we would all agree that this would be a natural reaction for us to be afraid of what's going on if we were caught in this type of storm, in this situation. It's a normal human reaction to something that we cannot control. Oftentimes we panic. But if you consider who these people are that are with Jesus, would we still expect them to act this way or to respond this way? See, when we think about the disciples, Jesus' closest followers, this isn't the spiritual response that we would think that they would have, is it? The disciples, what did they do when the storm hit? They panicked. And they woke Jesus up. Alright? They woke Him up from His sleep. But not only did they just, "Hey Jesus, wake up. Can you help us out a little bit?" They called Jesus out. They were upset. They were frustrated. They were criticizing Him. Now, when you look at this, right, what did they call Jesus when they woke Him up? What name did they call Him? Lord! Lord, good! Thanks! I like to hear that you guys know where I'm going. Okay? Verse 25, they call Him Lord. And that was a very good, honorable term, right? It's a term of respect and honor, calling someone Lord, calling Jesus Lord. But then, after that, it takes a little turn, a little downward turn as far as how they're speaking to Jesus. They demand. You see an exclamation mark, right? Lord, save us! We're going to drown! And then if you look at the account in the book of Mark, you can take a note there, Mark chapter 4, you can read it later. It's the account of the same thing that happened in Mark chapter 4. But what they say to Jesus is, and what's recorded here in Mark says, "Don't you care if we drown, Jesus? Don't you care if we drown?" Well, don't they know that Jesus cares? Shouldn't they know that Jesus cares? Do you think Jesus just wanted to kill them? But see, notice their response in the midst of this storm. They are questioning Jesus' love for them. They are questioning His concern. They're frustrated by what seems like how Jesus is treating them. They may think or be feeling that Jesus doesn't care or has a lack of concern for what is happening and is out of touch with reality, maybe. And yet they are extremely desperate in this moment. They are going to die. And they find themselves where? They find themselves completely powerless to do anything to improve their situation. And what is their response? They lash out at Jesus. What about you? Have you ever felt defeated? Have you ever felt powerless? Have you ever been hurt, lost, angry, tired, frustrated? Have you ever felt like God has left you hanging? Well, we look at that, the response of the disciples, and then we see Jesus. We look at Jesus' response. Look at how Jesus addresses the disciples in verse 26. What does He say to them? He says, "You of little faith, why?" Oh, there's no exclamation point, right? It's just a question mark. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Jesus doesn't lash back out at them and say, "You stupid! Why are you so afraid? I'm right here. I'm God." He says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Caleb, why are you crying?" You see, this was a golden opportunity for these followers of Christ to demonstrate their trust in Jesus. And yet they came up short, didn't they? They came up short. In the middle of the storm, rather than trusting Him, the disciples accused Jesus of forsaking them. And really, when I look at this, yeah, I'm tempted to say, "Ah, those stupid disciples, those little immature disciples." But oftentimes, when I honestly search my own heart, I painfully see myself in those disciples. You know, Jesus has proven to me over and over and over how faithful He is in His love for me. And yet, when caught by surprise and squeezed in times of trouble, I get frustrated. I fume. I falter rather than choosing faith. Choosing to trust God. You know, there's a quote here that I want to share with you. From a Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, who you may have heard of a long time ago. But he said this: "God is too wise to err, too good to be unkind. Leave off doubting Him and begin to trust Him. For in so doing, you will put a crown on His head." What does that mean? Put a crown on His head? Put a crown on Jesus? That sounds kind of ridiculous. Jesus isn't here, right? How about this next slide? How many of you have ever put on a Burger King crown? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, you did it yesterday. All right. Yeah. Okay, I have worn a Burger King crown. Yes, when I was younger, but also as an adult, I have put on a Burger King crown. Okay, those little cardboard crowns. This is not me, please. Okay, that's not me. That's just some random picture. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is a handsome fellow, but that's not me. Okay. I always feel silly, right? I always feel silly when I put on that Burger King cardboard crown. And I'm trying to think about why I feel silly. I mean, it's just a crown. It looks like a crown, kind of. But I think the part that makes me feel silly is because it means nothing. Like it has no value. It means nothing. It does not give me any certain powers or recognition. Maybe, yeah, people will recognize me if I wear it as a Burger King. I like hamburgers or something. Okay. But I always feel silly. And it reminds me, if anything, it reminds me of my lack of power, my lack of control, my lack of rule. It reminds me of my weakness when I put on a Burger King cardboard paper crown. But when I think about a crown, as I'm thinking about that quote from Charles Spurgeon, I think of a real crown. I think of a king's crown that's made out of precious metal and jewels. And I think of a mighty king and what that crown signifies, right? When you crown someone king, it signifies honor, position, royalty, power, authority. And it made me think, when I read this quote, and I found this quote, it made me think how often we are so quick to put crowns on things, to put crowns on someone else, to put crowns on ourselves. And in doing so, we fail to recognize the real King. Jesus. Yes, I'm talking about a metaphorical crown. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is God. He's all-powerful. He's in control. He knows everything. He's everywhere all the time. There is no one and nothing that even comes close to His greatness. And yet, He is so great. Yet He came down to be with us. And He loves us so perfectly. You see, it's God that allows us to go through trials. Why? To help us to grow. To teach us to trust Him, to depend on Him. Hardships and difficulties, they're divine appointments made to strengthen our faith. And yes, sometimes they correct us. Sometimes they protect us. Sometimes God uses those hardships to help us to grow. But see, when we know God's truth, when we know His Word, in light of the truth of who He is and His Word, we should trust His provision because it's priceless. We should trust His plan because it's perfect. We should trust His timing because it's eternal. We should trust Jesus. Look at Paul shares this other encouragement in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Dear friends, when the storms of life come, will you choose to fix your eyes on Jesus? Will you recognize that you were created for eternity? Will you remember His promises? Will you stand upon His truth? Will you choose faith instead of fear? That brings us to our third truth. Jesus has all authority. He has all authority because He is God. Jesus has all authority because He is God. You look at Matthew, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Jesus could declare this to His disciples because it is true. Because He is God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. You see in our passage in verse 26, we see Jesus' deity, how He is God. We see it on full and glorious display. There's a storm that is raging, hurricane force winds, crushing waves. And what happens? They are stopped completely with just a few words. In the book of Mark, in that account, in chapter 4, Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves by saying, quiet, be still. He spoke out to the winds and to the waves. He said, quiet, be still. And these raging winds and these crushing waves were immediately stopped. Why? Because their Master had spoken. Only God could do something like that. Jesus must be God. And this is what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that day. Not that, oh, if you're with Me, you're never going to have any more storms. That's not the lesson. That's not a truth from this passage. The truth here is that in the midst of the storm, I am with you. I am God. And you do not have to be afraid. This is what we need to recognize. Jesus Christ is God, and all authority is His alone. You see, what does this mean? If Jesus truly has all authority, if God truly is God, and He is that great, He is the Creator, He is the one that is totally in control, if He is God, then trusting, right? Then trusting in anything else, then trusting in anyone else to save us, to satisfy us, to provide for us, to bring us security, trusting in anyone else, isn't it foolishness? If we believe that God is God. Isn't it foolishness to trust in anything else? There is no other. He is the one and only true living God. He is our only hope. And this brings us to our last point. You see, whenever we're presented with God's Word, with His truth, whether somebody asks you or not, whether I ask you a question or not, that doesn't matter. Because whenever we're presented with God's Word, with God's truth, we have a choice to make. That choice is, will you trust Him or not? Will you trust what He says to you or will you not trust Him? Will you reject Him? You see in verse 27, right? We see what the disciples say after Jesus performs this amazing miracle, revealing and displaying His authority over natural disasters, over the storms. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27 says, the men were amazed and asked. They asked the question, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. You see, our last point, the identity of Jesus. That's an issue that all of us need to settle. Each one of us, each one of you, it's my prayer that you would settle this question in your heart, in your mind. Who is Jesus? The disciples, they weren't even sure. They were asking the question, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves would obey Him? Well, I tell you this, Jesus was, and He always has been, and He always will be God. Jesus is the Son of God with all authority over disease, all authority over disaster, all authority over demons. If you keep reading, you'll see that. And nothing can touch us apart from His sovereign power and in accordance with His sovereign will. And so if God is God, if Jesus is God, if all authority is His, shouldn't followers of Jesus Christ be the most secure people in the world? Because our security in Christ is not determined by our circumstances in Christ, is it? When we're in Christ, our security, our hope, our joy, our peace is not dependent on what's going on. It's based on what Jesus has done already. The work that He did on the cross. How He died and shed His blood and He rose from the dead and now He lives. He conquered sin and death and now He offers us eternal life through faith in Him by His grace. You see, we are secure simply because we are in the hands of the One who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Because He loves us and He cares for us. I want you to know, friend, brother and sister, whatever storm you are facing today, I want you to know that God cares and God is with you. He's providing for you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, He's knocking on the door of your heart, calling you just to come. To let Him in, actually. He's already come to you and He's just asking you to open the door. For those of you, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, God is calling you to trust Him and not give up. He's there and He has a plan. And that plan is not just so that you'll feel good and things will be safe and comfortable here on earth. No, that plan is for eternity. That plan is for you to proclaim the greatness and the goodness of Jesus Christ to a world that is so desperate and in need, searching everywhere to find hope and security and not finding it. And they just need someone to share with them the truth. And that's you and that's me. So remember this question, right, that Jesus asked in verse 26. Why are you so afraid? Let me show you one last thing. If you skip down to verse 29, take a look at verse 29. Remember I said Jesus, He has all authority. And here's an example of how Jesus has authority over evil, over the demons, right? In verse 29 in Matthew, right, it says, the demons, they're responding to Jesus, all right? They encounter Jesus. Demons encounter Jesus. And they ask Jesus, "What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" This tells us so much already, but what does it tell us? Let me point out a couple things. Even the demons know about Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. They believe in God. That all authority, even the demons know that all authority and power is His. What else do they know? These demons, they know that there is coming a day when Satan and all of his demons will be fully and finally judged by the Lord and cast out completely into utter darkness. That's in Matthew chapter 25. As followers of Jesus Christ, those who have been forgiven and redeemed, we look toward that day with great anticipation. That day when we will see Jesus face to face. He is our hope. Cancer, disease, natural disasters on that day will be no more. Demons will no longer, Satan will no longer tempt or torment God's people. There will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. That appointed time that these demons are referring to is the day when Jesus comes back. All of this is possible. All of this is guaranteed because of what Jesus has done on the cross. When He gave His life as a sacrifice for yours and my sin. He is our only hope. So I want to just close with this. Who do you say that Jesus is? And if you believe that Jesus is who He says He is, then why are you so afraid? Why? Aren't you tired of being afraid? I'm tired of being afraid. Let's choose today to trust Jesus. Trust Him as your Lord, as your Savior. Trust that He's there. That He will never leave, that no one could ever snatch you out of His hand. And let's trust Him and that He's given you everything you need to go and do everything that He's created to call you to do. To turn this world upside down in a good way. To share and proclaim the good news of Jesus to a world that is desperate and dying. Will you trust Him today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. You, all authority is Yours. And God, we are in awe of Your greatness, in awe of Your power. But God, we are also in awe of Your love, in awe of Your grace and Your mercy poured out so richly and lavishly upon us. Sinners like me, broken people like me, God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for Jesus, who came and died on the cross so that I could be forgiven. And God, I pray for my friends here this morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's anyone here, God, that hasn't put their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that they wouldn't wait one moment longer, but that they would choose and declare Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. Their Savior that cleanses them from sin, the sin that separated us from You, God, that they would know that You have forgiven them. And not only that, God, but that they would choose for you to be their Lord, that they would crown you in their lives and follow you the rest of their days. I pray that they would make that decision today. And that today they can walk out of here with no more fear, but with assurance that no matter what storms come, that you will be with them, that you will have a plan for them, and that they can look forward to that day when all the storms will cease and they will see you face to face. And God, for my brothers and sisters here, some of us might be tired, some of us might be frustrated, some of us might be discouraged. God, I pray that in light of you and who you are, that you are the authority over the heavens and the earth, God. Show us, teach us to trust you more. Teach us to surrender our lives to you. Teach us not to get distracted by the lies of this world or the lies of the evil one or the temptations of our circumstances. But God, help us to choose to stand firm upon your truth and to trust you every day, every step of the way until we see you again. And so God, this is my prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise. And this is a time where you can respond to God. If there's a decision that you want to make or that you made already as we were praying, I want to invite you to come and share with me so I can pray with you. As we sing, as we respond to God, I invite you to come so that I can rejoice with you, so that I can pray with you as we sing.